thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So tonight I'm going to speak on the first three verses of Psalm 35. Now, we don't work in tandems with our sermons, but there's actually quite a lot similar to what Graham said this morning. But Psalm 35, just going to read the first three verses. It's again a psalm of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. I was reading a couple of testimonies just this afternoon. A video was published on the 10th of May, just a couple of weeks ago, by the Islamic State in Nigeria, in northern Nigeria. And the video showed the execution of 20 Christian men. There are more people killed for their faith in Nigeria per year than in all the countries of the world put together. It's absolutely shocking. And in this video, the Islamic State said the execution of these 20 men was a warning for Christians around the world. In other words, we're coming to get you and we're going to kill you. An Open Doors spokesperson said, Christians around the world should be in awe of the testimony of these men who held onto their faith even in the face of execution. Powerful, isn't it? And I want to read you just part of a letter. The person, the name has been changed. He's a Christian man. He lives in Eritrea. It's number six in the world, one of the world's most dangerous places to be a Christian. And here's what he says. He says, to live for Christ is something I have consciously chosen to do. Every day I choose to participate in this walk, knowing what trials await me. When my walk started, it was with the intention of remaining faithful unto death. I don't care much about what happens in this life. It's not that I don't want comfort or happiness, but it will all pass. My primary concern is the life that is coming, the forever life. I will never change this worldview. Jesus showed me his love on the cross when he suffered for me, and I show my love to him by being faithful in my trials. Remember, we have Jesus who knows all our suffering firsthand. Therefore, when it comes to challenges, look to Jesus who has faced far greater trials. They can't take him away from us. They can make our lives difficult, but they can't take away the truth. And then he goes on to talk about in your family, how families often treat them really badly because they see it as a betrayal because they've chosen Christ. He talks about in your workplace, people are often dismissed or demoted just because they are believers. And then he said, when you leave your house to have fellowship, you must always consider the possibility of being arrested. You will always have to question if you should really go. If you do decide to go out, know that someone is always watching. The easiest way for them to arrest you is if you are found at a gathering. Even though there may only be two or three people, if they find you reading the Bible or praying, you will be arrested. In almost every street, there are administrators. North Korea also employs that tactic. They are ordered to report any gathering. If they refuse or fail, they too will be arrested. If you're a church leader, then the pressure and likelihood of arrest will be even greater for you. Yet, he says, There is a hope and a light that radiates from us. And some people can see this in us. They see in us things of Christ. They see our happiness and peace. Even when we are in suffering, we rejoice. We have nothing in our house, but we're grateful to God. But even if we have nothing, we thank God, because the reason for our hope and happiness isn't based on what we have or don't have. According to the Word of God, everything works out for the good of those who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. The persecution we encounter permanently changes us for the better. It's unbelievable somebody writes this. It's not because what happened was good. It's because God changed it for the better. It is not something that happened to us. It's how God works. Many people are persevering with God at this time, despite the persecution. Brothers and sisters are better acquainted with God's word. They studied the word, and its teachings have become real to us. Today, many people know Jesus in a way similar to how they know each other. Therefore, this time has made us know God better. We had heard a lot about Jesus preached in church before, but now we know him in person through our own suffering. Now, that was quite a long piece, and it's actually part of a letter. It's not all of the letter. You can find it on the Open Doors website. But these story, the story, the testimony, reminds me of three other men in the Bible, probably know who I'm going to refer to, who were thrown alive into a fiery furnace because of their faith in God. The story in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship this massive image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They refused to worship because their allegiance was to one king and one king only, the one true Lord God Almighty, who alone is worthy of worship. And you know the story well, and when these men were brought before Nebuchadnezzar to explain themselves, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And that's the key. Even if he does not rescue us, they knew God could do anything. He could miraculously save them from being thrown into that furnace. He could deliver them from the hand of the king. But a miraculous deliverance was not going to be the decisive factor in their response to this test. They had already made the decision, we are not going to bow down. And if you think about these Christians in Eritrea, some of them are maybe praying for a miraculous deliverance. But friends, they have already made the decision. The man says it there, that I am going to be faithful unto death. Those 20 men, Christian men in Nigeria, they had made up their minds. We're not turning back. God could miraculously deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down. We will not recant. I think to be able to have that attitude in itself, in the face of such danger, it is almost miraculous. But it's evidence of the supernatural enabling and strengthening of the Lord. And we know for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God miraculously intervened. And there was a fourth one there, one like the Son of the Gods, a pre-incarnate revelation of Jesus Christ himself standing with these men. But for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, Eritrea, many countries in the world, the persecution is not just going to disappear. But there's one similarity in the story. They're standing strong in the fiery trial. The book of Revelation says about people who were slain, martyred. They were slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they're now among the number counted worthy of giving their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the reward will be great. But one thing these stories teach us is the inward assurance and confidence is stronger than outward deliverance. Isn't that right? Inward assurance and confidence is stronger than outward deliverance. To truly be able, for you, for me, to fight the good fight of faith, to be able to stand the test in the day of evil, to be able to cope with the trials and the testing of our faith in whatever form they come into our lives, we need to have an inner assurance and confidence in our heart that is deeper than what's happening round about us. And that's why I read these first three verses of Psalm 35 this evening. Now, we're not sure exactly what David is facing here, but we know there's a mighty onslaught against him. Somebody or some people are trying to take his life, trying to kill him. They're plotting his ruin. They're trying to trap him. They're accusing him of things he didn't do. They're repaying his kindness to them with evil. They're mocking him. They're gloating over his problems. And David freely acknowledges in verse 10, they're too strong for me. What I'm facing here is actually too much for me. So no doubt about it, David is feeling hemmed in on every side, under intense pressure, feeling the weight of the world. And maybe this evening in this room, maybe that's how you're feeling. You know what? Nobody knows everybody's personal circumstances. And sometimes we go through things that feel overwhelming. Trials or burdens or problems we are facing in our lives, in our families, in our work, wherever. And we just feel the pressure of them. And we admit, we look maybe and we compare it to Eritrea or Nigeria, and we'll say, well, that certainly puts it into perspective what I'm going through. And it does put it into perspective. But nonetheless, it's real for us. And we can feel we can't cope. David was feeling like that. What did he do? He turned to God in prayer. Firstly, he says, God, will you contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me? Praying that God would fight. That's basically what contending is. God, will you start fighting against those who are fighting against me? Now, I don't think it matters if the pressures come from people, from circumstances, whether it's spiritual pressure, temptation, oppression. No matter what we face as Christians, it's primarily not against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that. That's not where our struggle comes from. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But so we need to learn not to fight against people, because that's not the real source of the battle. The real source is in the heavenly realms. And we just need to remember that whatever battle you are facing at the moment, and you might think, well, it is somebody actually causing me problems, or it is a particular circumstance. Friends, we need to see beyond those actual physical things and realize that at the root, the enemy is trying to weaken us. The enemy is actually trying to destroy us, even as Christians. And it's being aware of his tactics in all the different guises that they come in. Be on our guard. And David said, Lord, contend with these enemies. Fight against them. It reminds me of Jeremiah. He was literally, saying I'm in a pit, meaning metaphorically, he was literally in a pit. And here's what he says in Lamentations 3, 55 to 58. Jeremiah said, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. Isn't that great? So many people in life, they're looking for a solicitor or something, or a lawyer to take up their case, to fight their corner. Jeremiah says, the Lord says to him, do not fear. O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. What a testimony. Calling on the name of the Lord. David also asked the Lord to take up shield and buckler. Shield was a little round shield that basically covered your head to protect your head. And then the buckler was a big shield that usually a bodyguard went in front of your armor bearer and carried this big shield to protect your body. And he also asked the Lord, Lord, brandish the spear and the javelin. I love it. I love the language David uses. And he said, arise, arise, Lord, come to my aid. You think that's a bit cheeky to say to God? Arise, Lord. It's like he's lying in bed or he's sitting on the settee. He said, Lord, what are you doing sitting there? Get up and come and help me. But no, David was not being cheeky or rude. He's saying, Lord, I need you to fight on my behalf. Lord, I need you to come armed for battle on my behalf. Lord, I don't think you're just sitting back doing nothing, letting all the bad stuff happen. But Lord, I'm praying this because I believe you are Almighty God. And I believe, Lord, in your strength. And I believe you will fight for me. I believe, Lord, you will actively take up my case and fight on my behalf. Do you need the Lord to do that for you tonight? Do you need the Lord to actively take up your case and fight for you tonight? He's willing to do it. God didn't actually physically have to take up weapons of war, spear, javelin, shield, and all of that. It was David's way of saying, I need you to help, Lord. I need you to act in this situation. Do you definitely know tonight that you need the Lord to protect you, to fight for you? Because if you ask him, he will. He will. Sometimes we feel our ability to fight so weak. Sometimes we feel we lose our strength. I was doing a bit of gardening this weekend, and I was thinking, dearie me, when I was young, I was so strong. I could have worked and worked and worked. Not that I'm saying I'm old, but I was saying that to Graham. I said, boy, I notice, or maybe it's just because I'm so unfit, but I notice my strength isn't what it used to be. But sometimes we just feel weak spiritually, emotionally, physically weak. And we say, Lord, rise up on our behalf. Because you, O Lord, are mighty. And after then, this plea for help in the battle, David makes, to me, is the most amazing and I believe significant request of the Lord. He prays to God and he says to him, God, say to my soul, I am your salvation. I love that. You ever thought to ask God, say, God, speak to me, Lord, speak to me, and say to me, I am your salvation. Yes, David is saying, I want you to come. I want you to enter this battle on my behalf. It's too much for me. I'm feeling overwhelmed. The strength of my opponents is great. But Lord, there's something even more important to me than you fighting this battle on my behalf. Lord, I need you to speak your immediate and direct word right into my soul and tell me again, you are my salvation. David knew when he heard that word from God, he could face anything. He could face anything. He could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Securing victory in the battle would be much less important than having that inner confidence and assurance in his soul that he belonged to God and God belonged to him. Friends, this evening, these are some of the most important words you will ever hear from the Lord. To hear him speak right into your soul and say to you, I am your salvation. Wow. You're on your deathbed and God could speak a word right into your soul. What would you want it to be? What about, I am your salvation? What about when you're facing the oppression of the enemy, when you're facing great trials in your life, to hear those words from God right into your soul? I am, not I was or I will be, but I am your salvation. That not just give you a spring in your step, peace in your heart, peace in your mind. And then we could say, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God is able to deliver me from this situation, but even if he does not, well, I'll still trust. I'll still follow. I thought this morning when Graham was speaking and speaking about being healed, it was a Crohn's disease, all those years ago, healed instantly. His father, you know, will you heal me? Healed instantly. And yet in this situation that we're in now, and lots of people have been praying and we've been praying, and there was no instant healing. You say, well, we can't figure that out. None of us can figure those things out. In the end of the day, we don't have to figure everything out, because the truth of the matter is this: healed or not healed, delivered or not delivered, say to my soul, I am your salvation. And I tell you, when you know that, when that is the truth that is gripping your heart, that's enough. That is actually enough. Psalm 62, my all-time favorite psalm, verses 5-7. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. The force of these words, spoken by God to the troubled mind, through the disturbed heart, is immeasurable. The comfort and strength in the time of testing, in the time of trial, that can be gained from hearing those words right into your soul. They just change everything. They count for more than all the words of man in this world. It's nothing to do with our ability to solve a problem. It's nothing to do with our ability to earn anything from God. It's simply God speaking and God giving us an inward assurance and confidence that he gives us the most precious thing, his salvation. His salvation. I love the words in that letter from the man from Eritrea. Nothing in the house. Nothing in the house. Nothing in this world. It's like you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Because he has seen into the world to come. That's where our vision needs to be. It's not just this world. There is a world to come. And to hear God saying, I am your salvation. Security in this world for sure, but for the world to come assured. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Graham read those words to us this evening. And Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord, double emphasis there from Isaiah. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, seal your word into all of our hearts. For those here this evening who are walking through times of trials and testing in different forms, Lord, I pray that you would say to their soul, I am your salvation. Thank you that these words, Lord, are not just words, but Lord, they are the truth. They are our light. They are our hope. They are what gives us that confidence to live, to get up another day, to keep pressing on. Lord, encourage your people. Speak into our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight for our brothers and sisters all around this world who are being severely tested for their faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every heart. Lord, that they would have that spirit in them to stay faithful to the end. And for us here who live in such comfort and ease and abundance, oh God, I pray that you would help us not to just grow complacent where we're at. But, oh God, that we would earnestly seek you and you would be the prime focus of our lives. Lord, that we would also with them be looking forward to that eternal city whose builder and maker is God. In Jesus' name, amen. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.